Becky Pliego is coming to speak to us about the Bible Reading Challenge. Becky and Carlos joined our church how many years?
5 years.
5 years ago. They live in Mexico City, but they have had children go through NSA, and they are often here, and some of their children still live here. So we are very grateful for her and for her work. She's going to be doing the webinars every week for the Bible Reading Challenge, so you will get to hear a lot from Becky, and you will be blessed through it, I guarantee you. So, without further ado, Becky.
Hello, good morning. You forgot to mention that I'm from Mexico. Well, you mentioned that I'm from Mexico, I guess. And I'm not live in Mexico. That's important because of my accent. That's an important thing. If you hear, like, what is she talking like that? It's because of... I'm from Mexico, so English is my second language. I might throw an in when I should be using an on, and, you know, some things like that, but, yeah, I mean, it's, I pray that you will understand the main idea. All right. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, our Maker and Redeemer, we come to you in the name of Jesus, asking you to please bless our time this morning. We need your blessing, Lord, because without your blessing, nothing we do can prosper or be a blessing to others. Our God, you have revealed yourself in your word. Please, please, oh Father, draw us to your word and bless us with the gift of eyes that see and ears that hear and feet and hands that are prone to obey you. Let your words be our light and our salvation, our joy and our very song, our very life. In the name of Jesus, we pray today. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Paula, for your testimony. That was perfect for this morning. Such a blessing to hear that. And it fits perfect because with what I think we were probably good friends. I don't see you, but we could have been very good friends at that in our teenage years. I'm going to ask you to imagine a woman with access to the best food in the whole world, but is starving and thinking, deceiving herself at the same time, that she's well-fed and strong. That was me for years. Since I was 11 years old, I had access to a Bible. I grew up in a church. I went to all the Bible studies I could be a part of. I even went to Bible college, but I was starving. And the saddest part is that I did not know it. That's weird. I know, it sounds weird, but it's what happened. I read my Bible with some regularity, but interpreted to my own lenses, my own experiences, and out of context most of the time. I was trained to do that. I was trained to read my own story into God's story instead of letting God's story transform mine. I wanted to force meaning into some isolated texts that were here and there and apply them to my own personal circumstances. I thought transformation was a matter of trying harder and, you know, having a harder will, more willpower to keep up with a reading Bible plan, for example. But what was really happening was that I was not letting the Word do the Word that the word does, right? I was not letting the word do that. I'm going to throw two big words here. The only two words that I'm going to throw in here that are going to be big, but it's important. I was not doing exegesis, but eisegesis. Mm-hmm. I was not interpreting the scriptures with the scriptures themselves, but I was forcing my own views on that on several passages of the Bible. I used to read, but I was doing that all the time. So what was the result? I had a spiritual anemia. I was very weak. But God had mercy on me. And one day, about 15 years ago, the Holy Spirit illumined my mind to understand in a more clear way. And as I read book after book in the Bible, instead of isolated verses here and there, He opened my eyes to see my own weary soul, first of all. And then he opened my eyes to see the Father's amazing grace. Through his word, and the work of the Holy Spirit in me, he started transforming my way of thinking, my way of reading the scriptures. And guess what? Nourishing started to happen. His statutes were making my heart glad, and his counsel was reviving my soul. We are God's daughters with ample access to the word of life. And yet we are many, many of us, how many times we've been tempted, and we are tempted every day, to feed ourselves with crumbs of the word, which make us very weak. When we get up every day and find ourselves facing the trials of life and the battles against our own sins, we realize that we have no strength whatsoever. And the next day comes, and we are still very weary. And we are tempted to feed ourselves with the verse of the day. There's an app for that. Or that Pinterest quote that sounds super spiritual. Or the verses that show up on our Facebook or Twitter feed. And the word of life is there, right? It's just there, sitting, waiting for us. The shepherd wants to feed his sheep. He calls them, but many times they refuse to come. But he's still there. And I don't want you to take me wrong here. Choosing to eat crumbs each day for years, instead of choosing not to pursue intentional time in the Word, is the problem. If you're very sick, if you just lost your dear one, if you're going through a very, very hard circumstance in which you literally do not have the energy to come to the Word and read like six passages a day, don't take me wrong. You know, like, just go and open the Word. Read. You know, like, if you read a chapter, the chapter that follows, eat it with faith, and the Lord will use that to nourish you. So here we are, right? All of us with hungry hearts and at the starting line of this challenge that, God willing, we're praying will not end in May. And the challenge is real. It's real. And the fear to fail, again, it's there too. It's very real. But here we are, ready nonetheless, with our Bibles in our hands, and the grace of God leading the way. And the first obstacle that we face, guess what? It's not physical. It's not lack of time. We know that. And it's not even the lack of desire, but a word that we dread, habit. When we talk about reading the Bible, the word habit invariably shows up. So I want you to learn to love that word. By pointing out something super interesting about that word, well, first thing, habit, the word in Spanish for habit is hábito. So it was easy for me to go like, I see that. So habit also means the garment which a priest or a nun or a monk use to tell the rest of us who they are, right? They wear that habit daily and they don't think about it. A huge part of who they are and what they do is tied up to that habit. I love this because it helps us see what we really want to do here. What we really want to pursue when we talk about the necessity of having the habit of reading the Word of God and praying. See, we want to wear that habit daily without even thinking about it, like your underwear. We want to own it, to have it, like one of my daughter-in-law last night said, yeah, it gives support. It's very important. So we want to own it. We want to have it. Can you see how the verb to have and habit share the same Latin root, habere? So they come from the same root. Don't you love it? I love it. Owning the habit of being in the Word, Now you see, I hope, it's not about trying harder or about having more willpower. It's not something we necessarily, it's not only what we do daily, but something that we own daily. It's something that we have and embrace and wear daily and put on every day, and people see when we are wearing it well. Think about what I said before? Yeah, that too. Especially our family. So today, when I use the word habit through my talk, I want you to picture in your mind a garment that we own, that we have, that we wear daily, a habit that when others see in our own lives, we'll want to own it too. Now that we have this understanding and feel comfortable with using the word habit, we might still feel paralyzed. Where do we start now? Not on which book of the Bible, not which Bible reading program, but where in our heart? Friends, the life of every Christian starts with grace. Meeting us, like Paul is telling us, in our deadness, in our not wanting to know, in our not wanting to do, not wanting to obey, not even wanting to change. In our sins, that's where grace meets us. So yes, all is a gift. Passing from death to life is a gift, all grace. And in grace, in this, depending on God's grace, we must grow every day. So for us to read the word, because that's what we're going to be doing, and understand it and believe it and trust it and live according to it, that sounds big. We also need God's grace, the gift of God, God's grace in opening our eyes so that we can see. Just like we receive eternal life as a gift, we all know that, right? We believe that. We all desperately need every day the gift of seeing and the gift of savoring. It's a gift from God. Look at this wonderful prayer, the prayer in Ephesians. If you've been doing the mini challenges, you've probably read these about 8 or 9 times now. I do not cease to give thanks for you. He's praying for the Ephesians, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Do you know what is the hope of his calling? Do you know what hope you have there? Have your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, open to that? He continues praying, knowing that what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, wow. Do you know what inheritance you have in Christ? Do you understand what that means? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Oh, to fully know his treasure that belongs to us. He continues that prayer. It's hard to break it apart because Paul doesn't like to use periods there, so he just keeps going. But read it. This is a prayer that Paul made for the saints, not for the unbelievers. Did you catch that? Having the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. A prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian church. Many times we pray that God would open the eyes those who are not yet walking in the Lord. And yes, that's what we ought to do, of course. But we must also be praying that prayer for ourselves, for our husband, for our children, for our pastor, our elders, our deacons. Our sanctification involves more than just reading, just coming to the Word like that. It's about understanding and thinking and just wanting. But it's not, again, it's not a matter of willpower, trying harder to understand. It's not there. It's a gift. And this can only start to happen when we take the book, first of all, and open it and start reading it, praying and trusting God that because of his great mercy toward his children, he will give us eyes to see. Friends, we cannot grow apart from God's grace. That is just impossible. wearing this habit we've been talking about, it's not an option for us. It's not something that, doesn't fit me well. I'd rather do the verse of the day thing. When we turn by grace to the Lord, He opens our minds to understand how the Word of God, all of it, from beginning to end, all of it, it's the gospel that saves, that we proclaim. This happened to the disciples after Jesus' resurrection. You might remember that Luke tells us that they were walking, they were not recognizing Jesus, and then He opened their understanding. They may comprehend the scriptures, all of them, or everything that they have read, everything that they have known about Him. He is the one. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this on our own. And I think that is such a comfort, right? We put on the habit of reading our Bible daily, yes. But it is from the Lord to give us the gift of understanding, of seeing, of leading us to repentance and transforming us. And our response of this seeing, of this reading with new understanding, will always result in obedience. What we see, what we understand, we must obey. That is what it means to grow in the Lord, like Paula said, obedience. When He opens our minds and gives us eyes to see, the veil is removed. And we can start beholding the glory of the Lord in the words that we read on each page. We read in our mini challenges, 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians 3, we read, if you did not do that mini challenge, I strongly encourage you to read 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 this week. But 2 Corinthians in verse 16, he says that one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, guess what? Are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory. We need to memorize these passages along with the passages about transforming our mind, right? We kind of forget that it's not about like, I'm going to try hard to transform my mind. It's behind beholding the glory of the Lord in the words we read. Chapter 4, verse 6 says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That should shake us. I mean, that should really, really shake us. And what is His glory but all that He is? All His attributes, all that is encompassed in His name, when we pray in His name, being revealed and magnified as with a telescope, right? Not with the lenses that we used to eclipse, but the telescope, right? So that we might be amazed at the awesome God we have. By reading the Word and seeing, we are being transformed. And because of this promise, because of this that I'm reminding you that the Bible says, because of this gift, we do not lose heart. Chapter 4, verse 1 says this, that we do not lose heart because of all this. It's a context. It's not a verse out of context like, oh, do not lose heart. It's not. Don't lose heart because of this promise, because we are beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus as we read the Word. Sisters, did you hear me saying that? We do not lose heart when we see all the areas in our life that still need change. We do not lose heart in our pursuing of Christ if we fail one day praying or reading the scripture. We do not lose heart because we have this promise that we can come back. And you know why we do not lose heart in our pursuing of Christ? This is a wonderful thing. Because He is the one that pursues us first. Don't forget that. He is the one that pursues each one of us first. Because of His great mercy. We read that in Ephesians, didn't we? So we keep coming and we keep knocking and we keep asking. He keeps welcoming us and he keeps opening the door and setting a table for us. And just, he's waiting there, Bible, for us to read. And he will, you know, we come and he's there. So we do not lose heart in our pursuing. We may and we will miss a day or two or five, but we will not lose heart in our pursuing of Christ. Oh, come. Really, really. Come and see and taste and savor these truths. Open your hands and receive him and his wonderful gifts, all of them. Or God and all he does is awesome indeed. You will read that from September to May and on because you won't be able to stop. And once we understand that seeing Jesus in the scripture is a gift that gives us life, we are ready to wear this habit of reading the Bible daily and in such a way that we will not put in the pronoun I in the first place. We will no longer be looking for isolated verses out of context to accommodate to our own personal views, and we won't be trying to ground our faith on random verses disconnected from the whole counsel of God. We will open the Word and read every day with a profound desire to see Jesus. We will read one page after another and one chapter after another because we want to know him and the Father who sent him. We will read the Bible every day, trusting that the Spirit will breathe in these words into our hearts and transform us into the image of Jesus. And he will do it. We will be wearing this habit of reading our Bibles daily, and some days we will savor Christ more than others. That is still our frame. Seeing him will be easier, of course, when we read words of comfort. Other times, however, our spirit will feel heavy, our bodies will be aching, and our minds will be exhausted. But even in those days, we can still take a verse or two from our whole Bible reading, not verse out of context, to meditate on day and pray over them through the day. As we read and think about what we read each day, we will find that not all the passages will be sweet to our mouth. No, sisters. And it is better to understand that from the very, very beginning. We should be expecting passages that will make us uncomfortable. Passages that will expose our sinful desires, thoughts, our sinful motives, and our sinful actions. There will be words that will demand we respond with repentance and nothing less. Words that will demand we respond with obedience in hard ways and in hard places. Words that will demand we respond with actions that many times others will take wrongly. We will see many examples of what I'm saying as we open the Bible and read it together. There are words in this book that will be hard to swallow, like the medicine that we give to our kids, like the chemo, like some of our friends have agreed to administer to their sons. The taste is bitter and the prescription is painful. But once it's administered, it bears super sweet fruit in our own lives, but not only in our own lives, but in our church community also. David knew this, right? That's where we have Psalm 51. To be able to persevere wearing this habit, we also need something that many times when we talk about Bible or time reading the Bible, we put aside as if it were a totally different thing, and that is prayer. Prayer is connected to our Bible reading as much as all our veins and arteries are connected to our heart. Praying the Word, it's one of the sweetest, surest, and most comforting things I've learned to do, to wear as my daily habit through the years. Friends, let's start every day of this challenge. His challenge called life, praying to the Father. Pray and ask him to give you that desire to open his word. If you don't desire to open his word, pray. Ask him for that. Ask him to incline your heart to it. asking to make His word your delight. This is the kind of prayer that He loves to answer, and we never pray. He will not turn His face from us when we pray, asking Him to bless our opening of the word. He will not give us a stones or serpents. He loves us. He knows us. And He delights in answering us when we ask these things. So we read and we pray and we pray and we read, and our love for the Lord increases, and His grace in us increases too. And you know what? We will be saying our amens with more vigor, because we will know that we are praying according to the will of God and for His glory. A powerful way to tie reading the word and praying together that the scriptures talk many times, especially in the Psalms, is the habit of meditating on the word. Think of praying the scriptures as one sleeve of the habit, and meditating on the scriptures as the other sleeve of the habit. So they, along with reading the Bible, all of them together are part of the same habit. Paul encouraged Timothy, saying in 2 Timothy, he said, think about what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding. I want to talk about the habit of meditating on the scriptures. I love it. I love that habit, but I won't. But it will take a long time. But I have a very little piece of advice, a practical piece of advice there. From your whole Bible reading each day, notice I said from your whole Bible reading, not just a verse, a random verse. Like if you know the context, that's okay, but you know what I mean now, by now. So take a passage, write it down on a little moleskin, one that fits in your pocket like this, that no one will notice, and meditate on it through the day. Pray over it and find ways to apply it through the day. I have this quote from Joan Piper on the Calvary Mine. It says, "We don't just pray for help hour by hour. We trust those specific promises hour by hour." I love that. Many of us sisters here are excited about this project because oftentimes we find it hard to be motivated to keep reading the scriptures after a week or after we, you know, two after we started. And it's going to happen. We're going to find it hard to wear this habit every day. But I have good news for you. God designed that our sanctification, for our sanctification to be a community project. You can read that in Ephesians as well. That's why I have, you know, asked you or suggested that you would read Ephesians so many times. Because, see, so don't feel bad because you still, at this point in your life, still need someone to help you with your Bible reading and encourage you in your Bible reading. It is important for us to see the true need there is to encourage one another and to build up one another in the Lord. We truly need to exhort one another with the word, to actually be in the word every day. Even today, like Paul said, that none of us may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Let us consider, sisters, how to stir up one another to love and good works, that which flow, this is in Hebrews 10, which flow, listen to this, from our relationship with the Father. If we're just encouraging one another to just do good works, just like that, I mean, the world does that. But here the Hebrews 10 says that we need to encourage one another to love and good works which flow from our relationship with the Father. That's the key. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. We read that in the prayer in Ephesians, right? Prayer is, Paul is asking that you may know what hope, what is the hope that you have been called to. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. We also saw that in Ephesians, in 2 Corinthians, sorry, we're not losing heart. For he who promised is faithful. We are in this together. That's why we already feel so encouraged, right? Because we are in this together. We're doing it the way God in His Word designed it for us to be. He wants it to be a community. It's about us in the Word. All of us being in the Word. So it's important for us to recognize that we need the body of Christ to help us persevere walking in the light. So let's be obedient here. I've always said that a true Christian friend will always ask you, for real, not just think that it's a neat thing to think about. So she will ask you for real, what are you reading in your Bible? Tell me. Oh, tell me, what have you been reading? I want to hear what the Lord's been doing in your life. What have you been learning lately? So take advantage of this opportunity. Don't let the momentum go by. Start talking with your friends, your family, on your coffee dates about the Word. Sisters, even though this, we know it's not going to be a Bible study. Bible studies are wonderful. Jenny's story leads some that are really, truly amazing. I'm not going to be teaching, you know, expository verse by verse. We are very, very grateful for our pastor that does that every Sunday for us faithfully, right? So this is not a Bible study, but very important, we will become students of the Word. We will learn to read attentively, to see connections that are plainly there for us to see. We will become students of the Word just by diligently applying daily to it. I have two quotes, one from John Calvin and one from Spurgeon that I think are wonderful. John Calvin said, Scripture is the school of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And Spurgeon said, prayer is your best means of study. So, if we have a Bible, and if you don't, there are some in the back there. If we have a Bible and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and a heart willing to pray and meditate, we are ready to enroll in this school, in this challenge. And we are, aren't we? Oh, I can already see you getting super excited about wearing this habit. So my aim in every webinar will not be to exhaustively teach or explain, as I mentioned, these passages, but help you see that there is one storyline in the Bible. And one main character that by now I'm pretty sure that you know it's not you nor I, but Christ. We will not be reading only, and I'm emphasizing the word only here, to get more lessons. Remember, first Christ always. Always, first Christ. Even as we come to the word, first Christ. And I'm not going to be assuming the cross, and I'm not going to be assuming the gospel. I want to point Christ. I want to point to Christ all the time. Because if you don't see Christ, we won't be transformed. Sister, in the next month, by God's grace, we will learn how to live our life in constant dependency of God through coming to Him in the Scriptures and in prayer. We will learn to love our habit. And by the grace of God, we will walk together through this trail, helping each other to arrive at the destination and be awed by the amazing view. Just picture this. Look at this. The whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. All of it. Opened in front of us. What a sight. To see the redemptive plan of the triumph God unveiled before us. What a gift. What a gift. What else? That's what we're going to see. That's all of it. When we read the whole Bible, that's what it's laying before us. That's where we're going to just like go and put every effort every day and encourage one another, because the view, it's going to be amazing. Come. How can we not come? That's the question.
how can we not come? So in the name of our Lord and by the grace of God our Father and the help of our Holy Spirit, let's set our hearts, sisters, to read all the word of God, to believe it all and to obey it all. God is the one who started all these. This is his good work in us. And he is the one who will perform it. The good news, remember, is that he is at work in us and to will and to work for his good pleasure. So in the name of our faithful God, we will take the book and read it. We want to see what is ahead. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And now we're going to have, Rachel and I have a few questions that we forgot to print, and so we're going to reuse our phone.
Thank you so much, Becky. I'm excited. Excited you're all here. Okay, do you pull up the questions?
Yeah.
I have them in here. Okay. We just have a few questions that we wanted to cover. First of all, why do we need, Becky, tell us why we need a Bible reading plan instead of just doing it as we want to.
Yeah, this is a question that we thought about because at one point we asked, like, do you use a Bible reading plan? And many were like, I don't like it. You know, like, it's so not good. So I feel so attached to it. And if I fail one day, then I... But the trail analogy that I mentioned, you know, like, we are in this together. It's our map. We're going to get there together. We're not going to get lost, right? And the view is going to be amazing.
But this is also something we did want to make sure everyone hears and understands is that if you miss out on days, if you mess up, if you're sick, if you drop out for a while, just jump back in where we are. The purpose is, as a community, to be establishing strong Bible reading habits. It's not that you can say, I flawlessly performed on the challenge. There is no, somebody's child asked them, what will you get if you win? It's like, it's a solid question. So it's not that kind of thing. Just jump right back in on that day when you can. We're really not wanting people to feel guilty about it. So the bad associations with plans is usually because you're like, great, it's June and I'm back in February on my stand.
And actually that's where the webinar is going to be very helpful, because if you miss one or two or three days and just like, there are only a few catch-up days you've seen in the Bible reading plan. So the webinars are going to be great because you can just jump in and listen. The webinar is going to be divided in, like, first part of it is what we read, and then what we will read, and then praying the scriptures. Uh-huh. So if you miss a day, just come. Don't try. If you have time later to catch up on Sunday or in a catch-up day, that's wonderful. But just come. Jump in the day. We're hoping that this is not the last time you're going to be reading your Bible.
The plan. The plan is it won't be the last time. Okay. Tell us about the order we're following.
Oh, yeah. That's we've had that question too. Like, why the order? Because Psalms are like all over. And so we are, we try to really make it mapped, like understandable. What's going on here with what's going on there, and how it fits together. How we're seeing the one story, right? The one storyline. To all the scriptures. So.
Yeah, so like I think, don't we have Leviticus and Hebrews together?
Yeah.
Like the Old Testament law with the lots of discussion of that. Okay, why are we starting with Psalm 119?
That's, of course, because that's our goal, right? That's our goal. That's where we want to start, and that's where we end. You will see that in your Bible reading plan. We're going to read it in a very different way after we finish the whole thing, I hope.
I see the next question. I already jumped ahead to that. What happens if we miss a day?
That's great.
But Becky did want us to point out, I guess I didn't know this, there are some Bible reading plans that call your days off grace days, which is funny. When you think the day we're not reading the word is the day full of grace. Something is wrong with this. So we were not calling them grace days on purpose, but they are catch-up days if you want to catch up. But but specifically consider all the days you read your grace days. Look, I read that. I read the Bible today.
That is exact. So if you watch the little video that we made, we were talking about that when I'm doing all that. It's like, why are they doing the catch-up days like that? It's not that I'm going crazy.
I like that part of you in the video.
And I think...
do we recommend set specific hours or times to do this? I know some of you. Becky is a mother of grown children, mostly. She has a much more, I wouldn't say you have an open schedule, a different lifestyle than mine. I sympathize with the mothers of many little children and the frantic phases. And just like we talk about God's word being food for us, there have been years of my life where I think the way I ate my lunch was someone else's crust over the sink. And so you say, well, if God's word parallels our regular food, you can see that there are times when it is frantic and barely coming together. We're not recommending a specific time except for how you can make it work. I know last year Jessie Lucas said that, and I think in her testimony about that there was a time that she just prayed that God would give her the time to read the word, and that she was just started waking up earlier, like asking God to provide moments and to give you eyes to see the moments and to figure it out. I've been experimenting with fitting in extra reading. And so, like, I've been trying listening to some of it on audio, some of it, like, there's a lot of ways to do it. There's no set way to do it, but try to find a way is what, and hopefully we will encourage you to find spaces and ways. But no set day, no set hour.
And this is another, and the other side of the coin that we're talking about, it's, you know, like she's talking about that stage. And what about the older women who have more free time in their hands? How are you using it? Maybe now it's a time for us. You know, we were there, and now we are here. And when we were there, we wanted to spend hours in the Word and studying and reading and doing these. And so now we have the time, right? Many of us have the time. So let's do that. Let's not waste our time. Let's do that. Now we have the time that we were wanting.
Okay, how can we live out this project in community? You were supposed to ask that, I guess.
Yeah.
But how can we live it out in community? One idea is we did not want to coordinate set small groups for the webinars. But if you would like to do that, consider inviting other moms over to your house or having a small group to watch it together if you want to do that. Becky touched on asking each other how it's going. What are you learning? Are you, you know, when are you reading? I've enjoyed that on the Facebook group. It's just small talk about how I fit in prayer in my life or where I do. It's wonderful that we have this huge base of what we actually have in common. And it's funny that we spend so much time looking for things to connect over. When you're like, wow, if we talk about Jesus, if we talk about the Bible, if we talk about prayer, we're all on the same page here. It's amazing. So, yes, live it out in community just by doing it and talking about it.
I think that's it.
Yep, that is it. I think that's everything. Join us if you have any more specific questions. The website should probably answer them. It's christkirk.com/Bible Challenge.